Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Vachem Daf Lamed Hey. We left off on the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalet Amed Beis. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the end of the page. At Gufa Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landor and his wife and children. And Lili Nishmas, his mother, Goldba Simcha La Shalom, the Neshama, Shavan Aliyah. So the first thing we're going to talk about is we're going to revisit the discussion about how they would take a cup of dam on Erev Pesach when there were so many karbanos and so much dam. It was all over the place. In the Azara, they would take a cup of dam from the floor and be zorik on the Mizbeach, just in case somebody's karban didn't make it all the way to the Mizbeach. The dam of somebody's karban didn't make it all the way. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the scene looked like in Erev Pesach, why the blood all over the floor wasn't a chatzitza, how they kept their begadim clean, and why it is that, what exactly was the dam that they were worried about. Is it dam that was already... Niskabel in a kli, dam that came from the Tzavra Behema. So that discussion brings us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss some more rules about when something becomes pigul, and specifically relating to inedible items. Do those things become pigul if you have a machshava chutz l'zmano of achila of those things? Is that mifagel the korban? So that's going to be the Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, where he suggests that there are certain parts of a korban that can become pigul when the korban becomes pigul. But if you add a machshava of chutz l'zmano about specifically those parts of the korban, they won't be mifagel the korban. Meaning there are certain elements, certain parts of the animal that can be mispagel, but they cannot be mifagel. They cannot make the rest of the korban into pigul, and the Gemara is going to go through the details of that until two thirds of the way down the page on Amud Beis. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when it is that we say im alu, that if something goes onto the mizbeach that it should be taken off, and when do we say im alu lo yardu? When do we say that something that went up on the mizbeach, so it has enough kedusha, enough whatever, to leave it there even though it's not supposed to go on the mizbeach? And when do we say no, it's just so inappropriate for it to be on the Mizbeach, that imalu yerdu, that we're going to have to take it down from the Mizbeach. So let's begin again. We're at Gufa, 5 lines from the end of the page, on Daf, Lamed Dalarim Beis. Gufa, Tanya, we have a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Echolei Mali Midama Tarovis. They would fill up, the Kohen would fill up a kos from all the mixture of blood that was all over the place, and there would be Zorik it on the Mizbeach. Shem Yishafech Echol Mehem, because Nimtza Shehu Machshiro, because if one of the Korbanos Pesach had the dam spill out and never made it to the Mizbeach, now by taking this kos of the taroves, of all the dam, of all the karbanos, you're now going to be machshir that karban. So Amalo, the Chamza said to Rabbi Yehuda, v'alolo niskabel b'kli. But what do you mean? The dam that spilled on the floor went straight out of the neck of the animal and went on the floor of the Azara, never went into a kli. And dam that spills before it was ever niskabel in a kli is not allowed to be thrown on the Mizbeach. So how's that going to be machshir karban? You're taking dam that, it's one thing if you have dam that was niskabel b'kli, as we've already learned, and then it spilled out, so you can gather it back into a kli and be zorikin on the Mizbeach. But when it goes straight from the neck of the animal onto the floor, that's it. It's done. There's nothing you could do with it. So why is it helpful at all to be zorikin on the Mizbeach? So before the Gemara gives the Rabbi Yehuda's answer, the Gemara just explains the sheet of the Chacham a little bit. The Chacham are saying that it was lo niskabel b'kli. Mina yadi. How did the Chacham know that the dam that's on the floor was never niskabel b'kli? Ella shema lo niskabel b'kli. Their point is not that we know for sure that it was not niskabel b'kli, but maybe the dam of the that didn't make it all the way to the Mizbeach was dam that was never even niskabel b'kli. Now l'chora, that's a little bit difficult, because who cares that shema lo niskabel b'kli? But shema, why aren't we zorik it because shema yes niskabel b'kli? Meaning al atzad that it was niskabel b'kli, then it is going to be useful. So we're just trying to cover our bases over here as best as we can. Say nechnami, dam that was never niskabel b'kli, there's nothing we can do about. Those karbanos are done. They're not going to be valid. But it's possible that there was dam that was niskabel b'kli that has spilled out, and that we could still help. So Rashi, Maseches Pesachim, and Daf Samechei writes that since the entire takana was only because of a chashash rachok, that maybe the dam of one of the korbanos didn't make it to the mizbech, they had a system where the dam would get to the mizbech. This was a whole chashash rachok that it wouldn't, so we wouldn't be misakin to do a tikkun for that unless we knew that the tikkun was for sure going to work. So if the tikkun is not for sure going to work because Shema lo niskabel b'kli, maybe the dam was not niskabel b'kli, then we wouldn't have made a tikkun for something that itself is a chashash rachok unless the tikkun was foolproof. And this tikkun is not foolproof. Tosos and Maseches Pesachim says a little differently. They say that it could be that the dam was not niskabel b'kli, and it's possible to zrika, and then it's usher to be zoriket on the mizbeach. That's the point, that if whatever dam is on the floor, you know, was niskabel b'kli and then spilled on the floor, so then you could be zorik on the mizbeach. But if there's dam that was not niskabel b'kli, you're risking an isser. You're going to be zorik on the mizbeach, dam that was never niskabel b'kli. So how can you do that? So that's what the chamim were bothered by. So now the Gemara says, Amar lehen, Rabbi Yehuda's response to the chamim. Again, Rabbi Yehuda said, take a cup, throw it on the mizbeach. The Chum said, what are you accomplishing? After all, the dam was not niskabel b'kli. So Rabbi Yehuda responded, afani lo amarti, ella kashen niskabel b'kli. No, I would only suggest this tikkun of taking a cup full of dam and throwing it on the mizbeach if you know that the dam was in fact niskabel b'kli and was then just spilled out before it made it to the mizbeach. So ask the Gemara, but for who gufei minayada? How does Rabbi Yehuda know that it was niskabel b'kli? Meaning the whole point is that it was so chaotic. On Erev Pesach, you have no idea what happened where, and you can't identify which carbon's dam didn't make it to the mizbech. It's just it's too much. So how do you know that it was niskabel b'kli? So the Gemara answers Kohanim's reason. Kohanim are zrizim in their avoda, and they're mekabel all the dam because that's what they do. This is what they do. They know how to make sure that they're doing the kabbalah sadam properly. Whatever spilled on the ground it was niskabel b'kli first. You're going to ask if there's such zrizim, then how could any of it have spilled on the ground and not made it to the mizbech? Va'avdin hayo, but they're working very quickly. U'mishtapchin, so sometimes when you're working quickly and you're handing things off to one another, someone drops something. So there was a fumble on the handoff, and that's where probably it spilled out. But the Kabbalah Saddam, that for sure they would have made sure to have done properly. So ask the Gemara, but wait, v'alo damatamtis ma'orav bo. Still, how does Rabbi Yehuda allow taking a cup full of dam and throwing it on the mizbeach, mixed in with all that dam is the dam atamtis, the dam that comes out of the animal after it already dies, that's not allowed to be used for zrikas hadam. So meaning the dam anefesh is what's supposed to be used for zrikas hadam. So since the dam atamtis comes from all the karbanos, even though there may be some dam kosher from one of the karbanos to do zrika on, where all the dam of that karban spilled out, but that's a miyot, it should be batal berov dam atamtis. And therefore, you should not be able to be zorik on the mizbeach. So says my Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. This is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. Damar dam atamtis kari dam. That he holds a dam atamtis as a full status of dam. Legabe the isra v'achilas dam. He holds it as a full status of dam. D'tanya, as we learned in the brisa, dam atamtis ba'ashara. That the Tanakama holds that if one eats dam atamtis, it's simply a violation of a losasei. But Rabbi Yehuda omer b'kares. Rabbi Yehuda says it's a chiv of kares. So too when it comes to a carbon, Rabbi Yehuda must hold the dam atamtis is called dam, and it's therefore kosher lizrika. You're allowed to be zorek dam atamtis on the mizbeach. Now the reason Tanakama holds that you're pater mikares when it comes to the isra of achilas dam is because by the chi of kares it says in the pasuk ki nefesh kol basar damo benafshohu v'omel b'nei sol dam kol basar lo sochelu ki nefesh kol basar damohu kol ocholav yichras. So that the dam, it keeps on saying nefesh. So that implies the dam, shan nefesh tluyabo, is a chi of kares. But nevertheless, you're still in violation of a lav because there are five different lavin that are associated with dam. So from one of them, you learn that dam atamtis is included in a lav, but it's not included in kares. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, it's full fledged dam, and you're chayiv kares as well. Now the Sfas Emes raises the following question: how do we answer up for Rabbi Yehuda? The question we ask in Rabbi Yehuda is: how can you take a cup of dam and just throw it on the mizbeach? After all, the dam atamtis outnumbers numbers, or is way more volume of dam atamtus than there is of dam of that spilled from a cup that never made it to the mizbech. So the Gemara's answer was no. Rabbi Yudol's dam atamtus could go on the mizbech as well. So Sfasema says, wait, but there's a lot more dam there that also was not roi to be thrown on the mizbech. Meaning, what about all the karbanos whose cup of dam that you did kabbalah on made it to the mizbech? So all the rest is shiare adam. All the rest is shirai. That's not allowed to be thrown on the mizbech either. So that your cup of dam is a lot of that as well. Meaning, even if dam atamtus is kashal uzrika, you have the shiare dam from all the karbanos, which is definitely not mechaper. It should be mevatel the dam kasher in robes. That's Vasemis is kasha. Okay. So anyway, so says the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Lazar, but doesn't Rabbi Lazar say that Modra Yudalinin kapara she'enu mechaper? You want to tell me that dam atamtus is full fledged dam as far as the Yisra of achilas dam? That's fine. But didn't Rabbi Lazar tell us that Rabbi Yudah is moda that as far as kapara is concerned, dam atamtus is not mechaper? Shenamar, because the pasuk says ki adam hu ba nefesh yichaper. Dam sha nefesh yotzebo kori dam sheina nefesh yotzebo in kori dam, that only dam and nefesh is called dam when it comes to kapara, but when it comes to kapara, dam atamtus is not called dam. See, even Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're not allowed to be zorek dam atamtus. So we're back to the kash on Rabbi Yehuda. Most of the dam there was dam atamtus, was dam that was not royal izrika. So shouldn't that be mevatel the little bit of dam that may have spilled out of a kli that is royal izrika? El Rabbi Yehuda Tamei. So the answer is it must be that this is Rabbi Yehuda Lashita. So Da Amar Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. The dam is of tarovis of min bimino. Min bimino is never batel. When you have two like kinds, it's never batel. So enachinami, you have way more dam atamtus, which is pasul azrika, than you have the dam that actually still needs azrika. But that little bit of dam that still needs azrika is still there, and it's not going to become batel in the rove of the dam atamtus, and therefore you're allowed to be zorek. Tosos raises the question, so what that ein dam mevatel dam, and the dam hakosher is not misbatel, but there's still dam pasul, so how are you allowed to be zor? Meaning ein dam mevatel dam just means nothing is batel, so it's all still there. The dam tamtis is still there, the dam shirayim is still there, and this little bit of dam, it's all still there. So when you're zorik, you're being zorik everything. So isn't it an iser to be zorik the other dam on the mizbeach? So Tosos suggests that we're assuming like the sheet of Reb Lazar, that we have much later in the Masechta, that since you're not being zorik at l'shem kapara, we view it ki'ilu humayim, that whatever the rest of the dam, you're only being zorik it because you can't separate it out from the dam that still needs azrika. So since you're not being zorik that rest of the dam atamtis and whatever else, you're not being zorik it l'shem kapara, so we view it ki'ilu humayim, and therefore it's not considered to be a violation of a zrika sadam. So now the Gemara brings the hemshech of this brisa with this conversation between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So Amalam Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chamim, Lidivreichem, according to you, that we're not going to take a cup full of dam and be zorik it on the Mizbeach, well then lama pokin hazara? Why is it that they would clog up the drainage system in the Azara to create this backup of dam? Meaning, according to me, I understand very well why they do that, because they want to keep all the dam there in case one cup of dam spills, so that they could do this rika and they can provide a proper end to everybody's karbanos. But according to you, that they're not going to do that anyway, well then why are they plugging up the drainage system? Why do they need all this dam around? So Amalo, the Chum said back to Rabbi Yehuda, you think they plug up the Azara for Zrika Sadam? No, they do it to make a scene. Shevach l'bnei Aaron, she'yahalchva adar kuvusein b'dam. They try to make it as a way of showing shevach to the Kohanim that they're willing to walk knee deep in blood. The place is a mess and it doesn't bother them at all. Dam is kind of gross, but they're not grossed out by it at all, because this is avodas hakarbanos, this is avodas Hashem, and the fact that they're eager to continue in the avoda, even walking knee deep in blood, what a great shevach for Bnei Aaron to have such a thing. So it says, well, great shevach, but v'hadam havichatzitza, but isn't dam chatzitza? You're not allowed to have anything chotzitz between the raglei hakohanim and the ritzpas ha'azara. That's going to passel the whole avoda. Says the Gemara,
Tahu, v'lo avi chatzitza. Now the dam is moist, and anything that's moist is not a chatzitza. Anything that's wet is not a chatzitza. Ditanya, hadam, v'adyo, v'advash, v'achalov, yeveshin chotzin, lachinein chotzin. When you have dam, or ink, or honey, or chalav, or milk, if it's dry, it's a chatzitza. But if it's moist, then it's not a chatzitza. So ask the Gemara, yeah, maybe it's not a chatzitza, v'hakamit vasi manayu, but isn't it going to mess up their big day kahuna? They're going to be blood-stained big day kahuna. So v'tanya hayu begadav mitushtashin va'avad avadasu psula. And the Brisa tells us that if they had a dirty begadim and they did the avoda with dirty begadim, the avoda is pasul. V'chitem demadluhu. So maybe you'll say, no, a simple etza. They'll just hike up their clothing, their big day kahuna. So they're walking knee-deep in blood, but it's their bare legs that are walking knee-deep in blood. And the big day kahuna are above the knee. Not so tznius, right? But the big day kahuna are above the knee. So it says, no, demadluhu, v'chitem demadluhu, v'atanya. But don't we have a brisa that says, mido kimidoso, shalo yachasav shalo yosir, that mido means that it has to be kimidoso, that the big day kahuna has to fit perfectly. And it has to, meaning it has to go to the ground, not further than the ground, shouldn't drag on the ground, but it has to be the full size of the kohen. So they can't be hiking up their big day kahuna. So Tosafot points out that this kasha, we had a sugya back on Daf Yud Ches, this kasha is only according to the sheet of Rav, that begadim that were lifted up by tying a belt around the bed, so you scrunch it up and it lifts higher up off the ground. The Shita of Rav was, we view that as if you cut the beged and you've made it shorter. And therefore we're asking, so by hiking it up, you're making it shorter and that's a problem. That's like you cut the beged. But according to the Shita of Rami Bar Chama that we had back on Daf Yud Ches, that when you tie a belt around it, that it's still going to be kasher, then over here we don't have a kasha, we shouldn't have a kasha either. Maybe they hiked it up by tying a belt and therefore it elevated the beged. So the beged fit them perfectly. But because they tied a belt and it elevated the beged, that made it okay. So Tosafot points out that it's not a kasha according to Rami Bar Chama. This is only a kasha within the shita of Rav over there. So Asemis writes, it could be that it's dafka over there, that there's a machlokas, because you could always undo the belt. Whereas over here, you can't lower the beged, because then it will get full of dam. So maybe over there, Rami Bar Chama, Maybe over there, Rami Bar Chama is going to say that if you tie it with an avnet, it's kosher, because you could always untie the avnet, you could always untie the belt. But over here, maybe even Rami Bar Chama would agree that it's pasul, says the Sfas Emes, because you can't lower the begadim. Kol roi lebila ein bila makevespo. Kol shein roi lebila bila makevespo. So this is ein ra'oi to have it reach the floor. So answer the Gemara, the Chama don't mean that the Kohanim walk around while they're doing the avoda with blood all over their begadim. No, when would they pick up their big day kahuna so that it wouldn't get full of dam? That's when they were bringing the avarim to the kevesh, when they're bringing the limbs of the animal to the ramp in order to be maktir them. That's not an avoda, and therefore you don't require big day kahuna. Say no chinami. Hiking up the big day kahuna, it ruins the big day kahuna. But when you don't need big day kahuna, that's when they would walk knee deep in blood, when they didn't need the big day kahuna. So, frankly, Gemara velo, are you sure that it's not an avoda to bring the limbs of the karban to the kevesh? Va'atanya, but doesn't the Brisa elaborate on the pasuk v'hikriv hakohen es hakol zo halacha sevarim lekevesh? So it says v'hikriv hakohen es hakol, that a kohen needs to do the halacha sevarim lekevesh. That implies that it's an avoda. Otherwise, why would it need to be done by a Kohen? So Ella, so says Gemara, okay, you're right. Ba'olachas etzim l'maracha delav avodahi. When were the Kohanim walking knee deep in blood and therefore hiking up their big day kuna so that they wouldn't get dirty and it's not a problem that they're not really wearing big day kuna properly? When they're carrying the etzim to the maracha, they're carrying the wood to the maracha on the mizbeach. That's not an avoda. So it says Gemara, okay, that's great, but l'avodah hechiazli. But how do they actually do the avoda? Meaning if the whole thing was full of blood and it was knee deep in blood, and so granted they could pick up the big day kuna when they're doing things that aren't avoda, but how do they actually do the avoda without either getting their begadim all messed up or lifting up their begadim and not being yotze the din of wearing big day kuna? They built these platforms that were above the blood level of the of where the blood, and they would walk on these platforms. So that's how they they avoided that problem, and that's how they did the avodah. There is a peledik psak of the halachos ketanos, the chuvas halachos ketanos in chelik aleph simon beis. He was asked about a mohel who had dry blood on his hands, whether that dam is a chatzitza for netilas yadayim when he wants to wash, when he wants to have a meal. So he says that it's not a chatzitza on his hands based on our sugya that on erev Pesach they would poke the amas hamayim, they would plug up the drainage system so that the azara could fill with dam, and it's a shevach b'nei Aaron that they walk ad arkuf Hussein b'dam. And the Gemara asks, well, isn't it a chatzitza? And the Gemara answers that since the dam is lach, it's not a chatzitza. So says the halachas ketanos, when the Gemara says that it's a shevach b'nei Aaron that they would be mahalich this way, the reason that it's not a chatzitza is because it's so chaviv to them, this dam is so chaviv to them that they're not makbid on it. In order for something to be a chatzitza, it needs to be makbid. It needs to be something that your makbid shouldn't be there. But they're so thrilled with this dam because it represents the avodah to them that they have no hakpada on this dam. And therefore, a moel, the shevach of the moel is the dam amila, so therefore he's also not makbid, and therefore it's not going to be a chatzitza for netilas yadayim. The reason it's a pella, the Shvus Yaakov points out in a tshuva, that how could he have forgotten the whole Gemara? The Gemara says, yeah, it's a shevach l'bnei Aaron that they would go out of the same bedam. And then the Gemara asks, but it's a chatzitza. And the Gemara says, when it's wet, it's not a chatzitza. But when it's dry, it is a chatzitza. So how can the halachas ketanos come along and say, it's not a chatzitza because it's so chaviv to them, and therefore it's not makbid? The Gemara says that when it's wet, it's not a chatzitza, but if it's dry, it is a chatzitza, regardless of how chaviv it is to them. So that's a very, very difficult thing. The Shvus Yaakov says, and therefore I have a kasha on the Ramah as well, because the Ramah in Yeridea, when he talks about dinim of chatzitza in Hilchos Nida, in Simon Kuf Tzadiches, the Ramah writes that someone who is a shochet or a butcher, and his hands are always full of melachlachos bedam, they're always dirty with blood, so that blood is not going to be a chatzitza for such a person. Let's say when they go to the mikveh, it's not going to be a chatzitza, because in order for something to be a chatzitza by the mikveh, it needs to be rubo umakbid to be chatzitza midaraisa, and rov or makbid to be chatzitza midrabanan. So let's say he has a little blood on his hands, so it's if he's makbid about it, it's chatzitza midrabanan. If he's ain't no makbid, then it's not even a chatzitza midrabanan. So the Rama writes, rov b'nei umnazu are not makbid. People who are butchers, people who are shochtim, are not makbid about a little blood on their hands. So, but asks the Shvus Yaakov, in our sugi, it sounds like the kohanim who are not makbid about the dam is still considered a chatzitza once it's dried. So he says that you have to be mechalik between someone whose umnus is as a painter, where he has some paint on his hands, that you could say is eino makbid, versus blood, which is inherently gross. Meaning paint is not inherently gross. Blood is disgusting. So something that's inherently gross, even a b'nei umnazu, says the Shvus Yaakov, would have to qualify that as a chatzitza based on our Gemara. And based on that, he disagrees with Ramah. He says that when the Ramah says that a painter or a butcher who has some on his hands, that it's not a chatzitza, for a painter, yes, for a butcher, no. That for a butcher, it has to be that that's considered to be a chatzitza. And the same thing for a moel. Anyway, that's the tshuva of the halachas ketanos and the tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov questioning that halachas ketanos. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hashochet es hazevach lechol dover shein darko lechol laktir dover shein darko lahaktir. Let's say a person shechts a korban having in mind to eat chutz lezman or chutz l'mekomo, meaning machsheves psul on something that's not supposed to be eaten, the emurim that is supposed to be burnt on the mizbech, or having in mind to be maktir chutz lezman or chutz l'mekomo, something that you're not supposed to be maktir, like the basar, which is supposed to get eaten and not burnt on the mizbech. Kosher, the carbon is kosher. The machshava of chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mekomo does not impact when the machshava was for an achila on something that doesn't get eaten, or for a haktara on something that doesn't get huktar. For Rabbi Eliezer posa, but Rabbi Eliezer says the machshava of chutz l'zmano, chutz l'mekomo still does have an impact. It still will be mefagel the carbon. It will still passel the carbon, depending whether the machshava was chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mekomo. There is a machlokas in Maseches Menachos when Rabbi Eliezer says it's possible does he mean that it's pasul midrabanan or pasul midaoraisa? According to the shita that it's pasul midaoraisa, so if he had a machshava of chutzas mano, it's not just pasul, it's pigle. So when we say Rabbi Lezer posel, it means if the machshava was chutzal mekomo, or using the generic term pasul. Pasul is like the minimum, right? When something is pigle, it's pasul plus. It's pasul plus a chiyuv kares. So that's why we use the word pasul. But he probably means pigle as well. If you have a machshava that you're going to be maktir the basar chutzlis mano, or that you're going to be ochal the emurim chutzlis mano, that Rabbi Lezer holds that that's going to be pigle. So if he shachs a zevach lechol dover shedarko lechol lahaktir dover shedarko lahaktir but pachos mikazayis kosher. If he has in mind that he's going to eat the basar chutzlis mano, but only less than the kazayas of the basar chutzlis mano, or he's going to be matir the emurim chutzlis mano, but only less than kazayas of it, then it's kosher. Lechol kachatzi zayas ulahaktir kachatzi zayas. If he has in mind that he's going to eat a chatzi zayas of the basar chutzlis mano and be matir a chatzi zayas of the emurim chutzlis mano, kosher. That's still kosher. She'en achila v'aktara mitzarfin, because we're not mitzarif the shear of achila and aktara together. You need to have the machshava of chutzas mano and a kazayas to really mess up your carbon, and if you had a machshava of a chatzi zayas of emurim and a chatzi zayas of basar, they're not mitztarif with one another. Now, we already learned that achil and akhtar are not mitztarif. That appeared in the Mishnah back on Daf Chav Tesam Beis. The reason it's mentioned over here is that to tell us that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that when you have a machshava to be ochel, that which is supposed to be huktar, or to be maktir, that which you're supposed to be ochel, that Rabbi Eliezer holds that could still be mefagel karbon. Even he holds that they're not mitzarif achila and haktara to make up the shear. So that's why we repeat that point over here. Hashochet is a zevach lechol kazayis min aor. Person shachs a karbon, having in mind that he's going to need a kazayis of the hide of the animal umin arotav, or the sauce that the animal is cooked in umin akipa, or the little bits of meat that are that get stuck to the bottom of the pot when you cook. Umina alal, or from the a sinew in the neck or a vein in the neck of the animal, which is not roi lachila. Umina atzamos, umina gidin, umina karnayim, umina talpayim, from the bones and the sinews and the horns and the hooves, all of the, you have a makshava for any of those things. Chutzlis mano, the chutzlis mekomo, you have a makshava to eat any of those things in the wrong time or the wrong place, kosher. The carbon is not pasul nor pigle, it's kosher, because none of those things are roi lachila, and therefore the machshava that you have on such things is not going to pasul. Now, not all those things are in a roi lachila. Rotav and kippa are roi lachila, but we don't assume you'll have a kazayis of actual mamashus in the rotav and the kippa, right? That's why it's still going to be kosher, because it's pachas mikazayis. But the rest of them is because it's in a roi lachila. Hooves are not edible, horns are not edible, right? All those other things are not edible. Vein chayav nalem shum pigle. And if the carbon becomes pigle by having a machshava about the basar you had a machshava that you can eat a kazayis of basar chutzis mano, or you had a machshava that you're going to burn a kazayis of the emurim chutzis mano. So the whole carbon is pigle. What about the horns and the hooves and the, do they become pigle? No, they don't have a din of pigle. Meaning if you eat the horns after the whole animal became pigle, you're not chayav kares for eating the horns. That's not considered to be, the pigle doesn't extend to the achila of things that are not royal achila, and nor does the din of a nosar v'tame. You're also not chayav for nosar if you leave it past the zman that you're allowed to eat the carbon, then you decide to eat the hooves 3 days later, you're not chayav mishum nosar. And if you're tame and you eat those things, you're also not chayav kares for eating it betuma, because there are things that are not royal achila. Hashochet es hamukdash lechol shlil o shilya b'chut lo pigel. If a person shechts a karban, having in mind that he's going to eat the fetus inside the animal or the embryonic sac, b'chutz means either chutz l'makomo or chutz l'zmano, meaning with the machsheves psul lo pigel, he's not mefagel the karban, and the karban is still going to be kosher. The shlil and the shilya are not things that people normally eat, and therefore it doesn't have the capacity to be mefagel the karban. Hamolek es hatorin lechol beitzein b'chutz lo pigel. If a person does malika on a bird, having in mind that they're going to eat the beitzim inside that bird, that chutz l'makomo or chutz l'zmano, also that's not considered part of the karban, and and therefore it's not mefagel the carbon. The beitzah is not considered part of the carbon, it's not mefagel the carbon. Chalav muktashinu beitzah torin ein chayev nalei mishum pigel. The milk of kachim animals and the eggs of birds that are kachim, you're not chayev mishum pigel. If the carbon becomes pigel by having a proper machsheves pigel of chutz manu of the basar or whatever else, and then you drink the milk of that carbon or you eat the eggs of that carbon, you're potter, because that's not considered to be that you ate the pigel carbon. So the whole carbon could have been pigel, but drinking the milk that comes from that carbon is not going to be problematic. Venosar v'tame, it's also not a problem with nosar if you eat it a few days later, nor is it a problem of tame if you eat those things, the chalav or the beitzim, with betumas aguf. So I'm Rabbi Elazar. So now Rabbi Elazar is mechadish the following. Pigel bazevach nispagel ashlil. He says that if you shecht a carbon, having in mind to be ochel the basar chutzazmano, or to be makti the emurim chutzazmano, mamish pigel, you really mefagel the carbon properly. So nispagel ashlil, then the shlil, the fetus becomes pigel as well, and you are chayiv kares for eating the shlil, because that's part of the carbon. So you're chayiv kares. It's part of the actual zevach. So once the shame pigel is going to be on the rest of the carbon, then the shame pigel is going to be chal on the shlil as well. But bashlil, let's say at the time that you shechted the carbon, you had in mind that you're going to eat the shlil chutz l'zmano. You didn't have in mind you're going to eat, a nice piece of steak from this carbon chutz l'zmano, lamb chop. But you had in mind that you can eat the shlil chutz l'zmano, then lo nispagel hazevach. That way, it has the capacity to be nispagel, but not to be mifagel, right? The shlil cannot be mifagel the rest of the carbon, because this is not considered something that is edible. Similarly, says Rabbi Elazar, pigel ba'olol, if you had a machsheves pigel on a vein in the animal's neck, that which is ra'u la'achila, which is soft and ra'u la'achila, so the whole animal becomes, the whole bird becomes pigel, and therefore nispaglu mura'a, the crop of the bird also becomes pigly, even though it's not something that's normally eaten. But pamura lo nispagalala. But in the reverse, it's not going to be mefagal the whole rest of the carbon, because the mura is something that's not eaten. It's a davar ma'us for most people, and therefore it can be nispagel when the bird becomes pigle, but it cannot be mefagel the rest of the carbon. When your machshava chutzazmano was about it, it's not going to be mefagel the rest of the carbon. Similarly, Rabbi Elazar says a third example: pigle be'emurin. Let's say you have a machshavas pigle to burn the emurin chutzazmanam. So nispaglu parim. If you eat from the basar, you're going to be chayiv kares. But paparim, if you shechted al manas to eat the basar chutzazmano, lo nispaglu emurim. If you eat the emurim, then you're not chayiv kares for pigel, because you had a machshava to eat that which was ein darko lechel, because the basar aparim is supposed to be burnt in the base hadeshen. So that's not considered to be a machsheves pigel. So now says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer was mechadish that there are certain things that machshava about them will not be mefagel the carbon. But if the carbon is anyway pigel, then even these things will become pigel along with the rest of the carbon. That was the basic yisod of what Rabbi Elazar said. So the Gemara is going to try to bring two rayas to Rabbi Elazar. So raya number one, lema misayelei. We have a brisa that seems to support Rabbi Elazar, because we're going to see a Mishnah in about a week from now, where the Rabbanan say that the din of pigel applies to the parim hanisrafim. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, there's no pigel on parim hanisrafim, because the dam is not nizrak on the mizbeach hachitzon by the parim hanisrafim. So v'shavim, both Rabbi Shimon and the Chum agree, the Mishnah says, the Brisa says rather, shem chishev ba'achilas parim ubis reifasan loss of lo klum. That if in one of the avodas hadam you had a machshava to eat the basar of the parim, the next day, or to burn them in the Beis Hadeshen, the Kil Chasab, the next day, loss of Loklum. The Machsheves Achila does not passel them, because it's a Davar She'in Dar Kolechel. The Machsheves Sreifa doesn't passel, because it's not Huktar on the Mizbeach. The Sreifa has nothing to do with the Mizbeach. Only a machsheves achila chutzlizmano is mefagel karban. But something that's not nechal is not going to, it's not going to be a machsheves achila. And something that's not burnt on the mizbeach, that's not called achilas mizbeach. Meaning we only say burning is called achila when that burning's on the mizbeach. When it's out by the Beis Hadeshen, that's not called achila. It's only achilas mizbeach that's called achila. So my love, but doesn't this imply hachishev be'emurim nispaglu parim, that if you have a machshava to be maktir the emurim on the mizbeach the next day chutzas mano, then the parim do become pigle, and if you eat their basar you chayiv kares, and that's exactly like Rabbi Eliezer, that there's things that can be nispagel even though they cannot be mifagel. So says Marlo, that's a bad diuk. That's not what it means. That's not the diuk to make. Hachishev be'emurim nispagli emurim atzman. The only diuk you can make is that if you have a machshava to burn the emurim chutzas mano, that the emurim become pigle, and you're chayiv kares if you eat the emurim. But the basar is never going to be nispagel, because maybe Rabbi Lazar is wrong. Maybe there's no such thing as something that is nispagel but is not mifagel. So that raya didn't work out. So says Gemara, okay, we'll try to bring another raya. Toshima parim anisrafim asir anisrafim, that if you have parim anisrafim asir anisrafim mol and behen misha hukdashu, they're subject to me'ila from the second you're makdish them. Nishchatu, when you shech them, hukshruli possible but tvul yom. They now can become possible if a tvul yom touches them. Or a mechusar kippurim, a zav or a mitzora, whose tara process is not complete until he brings a karban, who touches them, will ruin them. Ubelina, or by leaving them overnight and not taking care of whatever mitzvahs you need to do with them until the next morning, they become possible. So my lav, doesn't lina mean linas basar, that it becomes, that if you leave the basar overnight, it becomes possible. Ushmamina, migo de pasal belina, pasal b'machshava. So if by actually leaving it chutzlis mano is going to pasal it, one would imagine that if you have a machshava of chutzlis mano on it, on the emurim, it's also going to pasal it. That if you have a machshava to be maktir, the emurim chutzlis mano, the basar haparim is going to be nispagel. And that's exactly like Rabbi Lazar says, that even though the basar haparim itself, you cannot be mifagel the carbon, because the basar haparim doesn't get eaten, but it can be nispagel when the carbon becomes pigle. So says Gemara, lo, linas emurim. Who said it has anything to do with linas basar? It's linas emurim, but the basar haparim does not become nifsal belina, and therefore you can't see it, you cannot learn from there that Machsheves pigle is going to affect it. But wait a second, I mean, Diktani Sefer, from the fact that the Sefer goes on to say, Kulan Molin Behen al Beis Hadeshen, that the Parim HaNisrafim and the Seirim HaNisrafim are subject to Me'ila in the place of the Beis Hadeshen outside of the city where they burn it, Ad Sheyuta Chabasar, until the Basar gets completely burnt and turns to ash. Now, only then do we assume that it's Nasas Mitzvaso and there's no more Me'ila. So you see, Beferish, the rest of that Mishnah is talking about the Basar. So Mechal the Reisha Linas Basar. So when the Reisha of that Mishnah talks about Lina, don't tell me it's talking about Linas Emurim, it's Linas Basar, because the Sefer of the Mishnah is Beferish about Basar. So the Reisha of the Mishnah must also be about Basar. Says Marna, Midir, Yahakadisa, Vakadisa. Reisha Be'emurim, Sefer Basar. Just because the Sefer is talking about Basar doesn't mean the Reisha is talking about Basar. The Reisha is talking about Emurim, the Sefer is talking about Basar. That's not a problem at all. So Masav Rabba, Rabba challenges the following. Ve'ilu She'in Mefaglin. The following things that if you have a machshava to eat or be mak to them, chutzuz manam, it's not mefagel the carbon, ve'ein mispaglin. And they also don't become pigle when the rest of the carbon becomes pigle. Tsemer shebarashi kvasim, the wool on the head of the sheep. Veseir shebizkanti yashim, the goat's beard. Va'or, the skin of the animal. Va'rota, va'kipa, va'olo, va'amura, va'atzamos, va'gid, va'karnaim, va'tzalpaim, va'shlil, va'shilya. All the things we said before that aren't edible. Ve'chalev ha'mukdashin, and the milk in the udders of a female animal. U'beitzei torin, and the eggs of in a bird. Kula lo mifaglin v'lo mispaglin. They don't. They can't, if you had a machshava chutzis mano about those things, it will not make the carbon pigle, and they do not become pigle when the rest of the carbon becomes pigle. Ve'in chayav lo mishum pigle noser v'tame. Ve'amal lemein b'chutz pater. They're not subject to pigle noser v'tame. And if you're maktir any of it outside the azara, you're not going to be chayav kares. So my love, lo mifaglin azevach v'lo mispaglin machmas azevach. Doesn't this mean to be telling us that in all these cases, not only are they not mifagel the zevach, they're also not not mispagel of Yad HaMachshava on the basar of the Zevach to eat in Chutz Zman, or Yad HaMachshava to be makter the Emurim Chutz Zman. These parts of the animal are not affected. You're not going to be chayiv karis for eating them. And that's against Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar said that the Shlil and the Shilya and the Moria and the Mora, all those things are mispagel when the Zevach becomes pigle. They're just not mifagel. So don't you see Beferish against Rabbi Elazar? So we tried two rayas for Rabbi Elazar. Now we have a major challenge to Rabbi Elazar. Says Gemara, lo. Lo mifagel nas Zevach, v'lo mispaglin machmas atzman. It just means to say that if you have a machshava chutz l'zman about them, they're not going to be mifagel the Zevach. And if you're Zorik the Dam, Almanas to eat these things, Chutz Zmano, even they, not only aren't they not Mefagel the rest of the carbon, they themselves don't become Pigel. But Enochinami, if you had a real Machsheves Pigel about the Basar of the carbon or the Emurim of the carbon, then this will become Pigel. Then all these inedible things will become Pigel. So frankly, Mar Ihachi, if that's what it means, Hadikatani Seifa, Kulon lo Mefaglin v'lo Mispaglin asu lamali. Why does it have to add in the Seifa that all these things are lo Mefaglin? Didn't you already tell me that? So isn't it adding that even when the whole carbon does become pickle, that these things don't become pickle? Well, if you can ask that kasha, why does it have to repeat ein chayav nolav mishum pickle? Ella I did by the misa noser v'tamei tana pickle. Once it's telling me the additional dinim of noser and tamei, it tells me the din of pickle again. So achnami I did by the misa malamehan b'chutz tanami v'kulam lo mefaglin v'lo mispag. So once it tells me the new din of Malmen Vachutz, that you're going to be Pater, so it also mentions all these things, Olo Mifaglin Velo Mispaglin. Rava Amar Afananami Tanina. We have this Beferish in the Mishnah that the Shlil and the Shilya are not Mispaglim and they're not Mifaglim, meaning that against Rabbi Elazar, that Ashokhir is a Muktashin, that if a person... I'm sorry, that like Rabbi Elazar, that Ashokhir is a Mukdashin, that if someone shechts Mukdashin, lechel shlil or shlilya b'chutz, having in mind that he's going to eat the shlil or the shilya, chutz l'mekom or chutz l'zmano. Lo pigel. It does not make it pigel. V'amolik asatorim lechel beitzeim b'chutz, lo pigel. You do malika on a bird, having in mind to eat the beitzim b'chutz, it's not pigel. V'hadatani, and then it says, chaleva Mukdashin, ubeitzeitorin, ein chayav l'mishum pigel nosur v'tamei, that the milk of the Muktashin of the female Muktashin and the eggs in the Torim, you're not chayiv for pigul noser and tamei. Hashlil v'shilya chayavim. Oh, why does it only talk about the chalev and the beitzim? What about the shlil and the shilya? Sounds like you are chayiv and pigul for the shlil and the shilya. Elav shmamina kan machmas hazevach kan machmas atzman shmamina. It must be that Rabbi Elazar was right that the shlil and the shilya, if you have a machshava about them, it's not going to be mefagel the carbon. But if you have a machshava chutz zmanu about the basar or machshava about the Emurim, then the Shlil and the Shilya also become affected and are also going to become Pigel. Okay, we're a little bit behind, but Bez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots at Tanan Hassam, and I guess I'll try to talk faster. Okay, have a good day, everybody.